take our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. I'd ask Brother Scott to read that particular passage of Scripture because of its relevance, I guess you would say, to what I'd like to preach on this morning out of Proverbs. He read, and I'll just read this to you. I know you're in Proverbs. He read in 1 Peter 2:11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." That's what I've entitled this message, "That Which Wars Against the Soul." Let's read Proverbs chapter 1, and I'd like to read verses 10 to 19. Proverbs 1, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." Now, you know, according to the word of our Lord, when He preached, He always preached in parables. Parables. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "Now to understand a proverb, parable and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings." Parables, proverbs, their dark sayings to the world. Because the Lord said, "The reason I preach in parables is because it's given unto you to understand the mystery of the kingdom of God. Unto them it's not given." Now, we just read a passage of Scripture, and it would be very easy to read that passage of Scripture and to read that and to say, "Well, I'll tell you what that's talking about. That's talking about the struggle between us and them. Us and them." But we must consider this parable, this proverb, this dark saying, as we actually consider something that's a whole lot more personable than between us and them. We that believe, as opposed to they that believe not. It's between us and them. I understand that thought process. I do. It's I understand the scripture, avoid evil communication. It corrupts good manners. Don't be careful. Be careful who you hang around. I understand that. I do. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. Verse 19 that we just read summarizes what we're about to consider in these few verses that we just read. Here's what 19. So are the ways of everyone that's greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. The nature that is constantly coveting unjust and dishonest gain. That's what it says. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. What do you mean, gain? I'll tell you exactly what I mean. I mean attempting to gain the honor, the glory, and the praise that is due God Almighty Himself. And that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ only. The ways which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. The vitality, the activity, the will, the purpose of the triune God. God Almighty, Jehovah Himself, who is the owner of all life. Now, what we just read, verses 10 to 19, is more, because the easiest thing in the world for me to do is to say, well, you know, I said a moment ago, it's between us and them. That's those old evil people out there. That's those old people that Jim that we work with, you know, evil. That would be the easiest way in the world for me to justify myself and say, as the Pharisee, I'm glad I'm not like they are. I mean, I fast twice a week. I tithe everything. I go to church. I read my Bible. I pray. And I just start listening to myself. And the next thing you know, I've got myself on such a pedestal, Neil. I dare say I can do any wrong. Listening to myself. What we see right here is not that struggle between us and them. This struggle right here is going on inside every believer. What we just read, this dark saying, now the world can read that, religion can read that, and false religion will justify itself and say, I am so glad that I can truthfully say, I'm not a sinner. If sinners, glad I'm not one of them. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 7:20-24, now, if I do that, I would not. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, after the new man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Friend, we should be cautious concerning those that would entice us to disobedience before Almighty God. There's no doubt about that. I can read that passage of Scripture and I can say, I tell you what, I need to be very cautious against those that would entice me. If sinners entice me. That's good advice. That's good advice. But I want you to know that we're going to consider one that's going to entice me to sin against God Almighty a whole lot quicker or sooner than anybody else. And it's me. Me. There's no heart of deception to me like my own. Nobody will come and say, let's rebel against God. Let's get together and rebel. Nobody will come and tell me that. I will. I'll tell myself that. I've got the heart. Paul says, if I do, I would not. It's no more I, but it's sin that dwelleth in me. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful. Takes by the heel. That's what it means. Sly. Supplanter. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can recognize it? Who can know it? There's no way in the world that I can recognize how deceitful, how arrogant, how haughty that old nature is. And it's in me. I'd like to consider three questions this morning out of this passage of Scripture. Three questions, not only about myself, but I tell you, I'm sure of this, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Three questions. Three questions that are honest. Three questions that are sobering. Here they are. Here's the three questions. Number one, what is the attitude of my heart as I have found myself a fallen creature in Adam? What is my attitude against God? What is the true attitude of that old nature? Here's the second question. What is my desire toward God as being found in the Lord Jesus Christ and regenerated by God's Spirit? And here's the last question. Wherein lies the difference? Here's the first question. What is the attitude of my heart? What is the attitude of my deceitful? The heart that's deceitful. The heart that trips me up. The heart that's a supplanter. The heart that grabs by the heel. What is the attitude? All right, here it is right here. Verse 1. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If sinners, a criminal, sinners, a criminal, an offender, one accounted as guilty. If sinners, if a criminal. Now here's the most honest thing that I can tell you. There is in every believer, there's two natures. There's two natures in every believer. Old man, new man. Now, the Scripture bears that out, and I don't have to defend it. I don't have to prove it. I declare it. There's two natures. There's a nature that despises God. There's one nature in me that is a criminal. Sinners. If sinners entice thee, flatter you. And oh, how this heart flatters. You're not that bad. You're as good as everybody else. Don't worry about it. It's not that big a deal. When the sinfulness of my members allures and deceives and flatters me. If sinners entice thee, the lust of the flesh, that carnal and sensual desire, the unchaste thoughts of my mind, the fleshly thoughts toward materialism and self-satisfaction, the lust of the flesh. You say, oh, I don't have those thoughts anymore. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You're not kidding anybody. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, that visual that feeds the carnality of my wicked heart. I look and see, and then I want to look again. Maybe I didn't see as much as I saw the first time. Maybe I want to see more. The pride of life, the ambition, the earthly honor and fame and praise of men. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Now here's the war. Now here's the battle that's going on. Now don't, I'm telling you, you talk about the dark sayings. Here's a message from Almighty God to His people in the book of Proverbs. This ain't about us and them. This is about me and me. Here's the battle going on right here. Sinners entice thee. Verse 11. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. When they call. When they lay in wait, when they ambush for blood. Let us, and this is the attitude, let us destroy anything that has true life to it. Let us destroy anything that's good. Let's ambush it. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let's hide our actions. Lurk privily. Let's do it in darkness. Let us deny favorable esteem to Him who alone is innocent. This is my attitude as being born in Adam, born in sin, conceived and come forth a liar against God. Let us lay in wait for blood and lurk in the darkness for the innocent, for Christ Himself who is innocent. Let us lay in wait for the innocent one. You give me one reason why I should treat him the way I do as being born in Adam. Tell me one reason why I should have an attitude toward Christ. I don't have a reason for it. I just want to. I just want to rebel. That carnal heart that loves darkness and desires to hide from God. You say, oh, I don't do that. Adam and Eve did it. Rebelled against Almighty God, and as soon as Adam ate, he knew. What am I going to do? Well, I'm going to get me a fig leaf. I'm going to go somewhere and hide. Why? Because that's what I want to do. If sinners come and say, come with us. John 15:25, the Lord said, they hated me without a cause, devoid of reason. And I tell you, in the presence of that old nature, it still says that to me. Let's dishonor Him. And there's a new nature that hates that. But I'm telling you, that old nature says, let's lurk in the darkness. Let's dishonor Him. Verse 12, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole, and those as those that go down into the pit. Let's swallow them. Let's just, the Jews cried, crucify Him. Why? Because He exposed that their deeds were evil. There's a nature that is in me Paul said, that nature that is in my flesh, that no good thing, there's no good thing there. That old nature that if God Almighty had not dethroned it, the presence of it's there. But had it not been dethroned, it would cry the loudest, let's eat him up. That's what he's saying. Let's swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. Let's get him out from under the watchfulness of his eye. Don't you hate those that are right and honorable? You hate to be in their presence when guilt is upon you. You don't want to be around that which is right. What is the attitude? This is the battle that's going on right here. Verse 13, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. We shall find all. Let's eat him up. We're going to find precious substance. To my flesh, Christ is not precious. He's not honorable. What's precious to the carnal heart? Well, Matthew 13:22, the Lord preaching a parable about a sower. He said, this is what's precious to the carnal heart. The care of this world. The distraction. That's what that means. The distraction. And the deceitfulness of riches. The delusion. My heart tells me, I need more. I don't have time. I don't have time for God. I'm too busy. I mean, I got bills. I got kids. I got a house. I got a boat. I got a car. They choke the word. They crowd it out. And he becometh unfruitful. Turn with me to Luke 12. Luke 12. Luke 12:16. You say, I'm not really like that. Let me tell you something. Don't kid yourself. This is the way all men are. Apart from Christ, I'm telling you this is the only nature that's there. This nature right here. Luke 12:16. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. Now let me just say this before we go too far, and we read this and say, I'm telling you, those rich people, it's amazing how they think. This is the way every one of us thinks. Now just go ahead and let's just be honest about it and just say, this is the way that all men, as born in Adam, think. So just, this is, as Paul says, there is in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. Here it is. This is us now. There was a certain rich man which brought forth plentiful, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease and eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So as he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now listen, this parable that we just read is the way all men think as being born in Adam. The easiest way to appease my conscience is for me to make this appear as though that here I am, oh, just the pillar of just being the epitome of being a man that's honorable and right and just put this off on you. If I can make you be this, and not me, but this is what I war with. This is what I struggle with. I'm telling you that Almighty God has not taken the penalty of this attitude right here. If the Lord has not taken the guilt of it, the penalty of it, and if the blood of Christ has not been shed to pay the debt of that penalty, I have no hope. The presence of it is still there, and it grieves me. You say, well, I don't really think like this. Yes, you do. Don't tell me that you don't struggle with these things. Don't tell me that this doesn't war against you. We make that scripture that says there's two natures and they strive one against. They almost think like it's just kind of a like a little, you know, two kids. Yes, you did. No, you didn't. Yes, you did. No, you didn't. Let me tell you something. This is a battle. And it's a battle to the death. It's a battle, a struggle, a war that's going on. It is a striving. Back in Proverbs 1. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. The thought here is universal unity. This is how the old man thinks. Now, this is how the old man thinks. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. So help me. That thought prevails in all men born in Adam. Long as you're sincere. Don't matter where you go to church. It don't matter what you hear. As long as you go, be careful what you hear. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. You have something to contribute to the cause. Join up. We're all working for the same gold. It's just a big wagon wheel and the hub is where we're going. It's just all spokes. It just goes around. They all come back to the center. It's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Just be sincere. I tell you, if the Lord God had not given you a heart to hear this word, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you. Does it matter what you hear? Does it matter? Cast in thy lot, monks. Surely numbers can't be wrong. Unless Almighty God gives a man a new heart, he'll follow the dictates of that lying heart that's warring against the new man. And you'll do it right now. Let me ask you, you that believe, do you find these things that we've looked at so far, if you're honest about it, and you are, you that believe, you're honest, do you find these things really there? Sure you do. I'm telling you, a believer is one that's struggling. This life, he realized, I am a pilgrim and a stranger. I find in my new man, and that regenerated by the grace of God, this place is this is a war zone. This is a battle that's really going on. What's the attitude of man born in Adam? We just looked at it. Here's my second question. What is my desire toward God? Being regenerated by the grace of God. What is my desire? What's my attitude as being found in the Lord Jesus Christ and regenerated by His Spirit? What is the attitude of the new man? Well, back in verse 10, it started off, it said, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. There's not a willingness to yield. You war against it. You strive against it. You fight it. Now, I'll tell you this, that command right there is never perfectly, completely accomplished because of the presence of sin in this life. Christ Himself said, John 15:5, without me you can do nothing. There was only one. There was only one man that ever walked this earth who did not consent to the enticements of sin. His obedience, His righteousness, that is alone my righteousness that'll stand before God Almighty. Christ, who is our righteousness, I'm telling you, you that believe, there is a willingness, a desire. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Willing. Willing to trust Him. Willing to come. Willing to obey. What's the attitude of a believer? Look in verse 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, and refrain thy foot from their path. Walk not in the course of life. I don't want to. And all the while I find myself struggling with it. Lord, You turn me and I'll be turned. That which He has commanded, faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it. Lord, I have no ability. Lord, I need You. I cannot. I'm going to tell you this, there's only one way that Almighty God is going to look upon a man and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, in His Son, in Christ. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Paul says, I see in me that old man. But there's a willingness, there's a hunger, there's a desire to follow after Christ. Why is that? It's because, look at verses 16, 17, 18. This is what a believer sees. This is what he knows. Their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. Men run what they think or say is a race of faith. But man by nature, his run is based on his own free will, in his own free self-righteousness, and his own works. And he says, I've been faithful. They make haste to shed blood. Verse 18 says they lay in wait for their own blood. They lurk privily by nature. Let's get him. Let's get him who is innocent. But verse 18 says it's for your own life. A believer knows that. I'm telling you, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the older he gets, the more he comes to that point. And God's bringing him to see this. This world is a desperate place of warring and striving. There's nothing here. There's nothing in this life that has any beauty to it. And the more he sees of himself, the sicker he gets. That's why Paul says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I'm dragging around this place and I'm sick of it. And the more Almighty God is pleased to show you that, I'm telling you, the sicker you'll get. Surely in vain, verse 17 says, the net spread in sight of any bird. What is he saying? Even a bird can see a trap that's in front of him, but the deceitful heart doesn't. Carnal heart is blind to certain destruction. That desire for faithfulness toward Christ is not naturally found in man. And here's my last question. I'll sum this up real quickly. I've looked at what's the attitude of a man is found in Adam. What's the attitude of a man found in Christ? Not going to consent. Not going to just be resisted. Fine. Why? Because there's a new nature in him. Wherein lies the difference? Go back to verse 10. Here it is. First two words. My son. Wherein lies the difference? My son. The difference between that old, wretched, sinful heart of rebellion that reigns in a man, the difference between that heart reigning and ruling and governing, unrestrained governing, and that new heart of submission to Christ, the difference is the grace of God. My son. God's people are His people, His sons, by electing grace, chosen, adopted in Christ, sons by virtue of being accepted in the Beloved. What did I do of myself to make myself a son of God? Nothing. What did I do to make myself? Nothing. My son by choice, my son by purchase, my son by quickening grace, my son, I made you what you are. That's what Paul said. I am what I am by the grace of God. Adoption, even humanly speaking, is always at the discretion of the adopting one. Children don't make the difference. They don't make the choice. They don't say, I tell you what, I will that you adopt me. And I'm telling you, by the grace of God, if you are a son of God, in electing grace, it's just that, by the grace of God. Galatians 4:6 says, and because ye are sons. Now this is already an established fact. Because ye are sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, because you are sons. Let me ask you this, you that believe. Here's a parable. Here's a message from Almighty God to His people. You that believe. Do you see in this parable right here, from God Almighty to His people, telling His people the way that things are, this, He said, is how you are as being found in rebellion. This is the way you think. And you know what God's people say? Lord, as you say I am, that's the way I am. Almighty God says by His Spirit, this is the way you are. As being regenerated by my grace, I'll give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new will, a new spirit, new life. I'll be your God. You'll be my people. And God's people say, Lord, as you say things are, that's the way they are. Lord, I love you. I love you. And I see in me, I see an old nature in me that doesn't love you. And I hate it. And I
strive and I battle with it and I war with it. I find myself, when I would do good by the new man, evil is present with me, sin. But Lord, I know this. I can tell you, I know. I know by the revelation of Almighty God, I know wherein lies the difference. You. But God, who is rich in mercy. Lord, it's not by works of righteousness that I've done. This battle going on right now in me. And I tell you this, it'll go on until I take my last breath in this world. But I think about that first message we looked at this morning. John said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, dwelling with God. No more tears. No more sorrows. No more pain. No more sin. No more death. And the believer says, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you'll never leave me, never forsake me. Because, Lord, if you left, I'd never sustain. I'd never keep going. I'd stop. By the grace of God, we are what we are. Okay, Gary.